Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And for our 225th episode, we're going to ask three questions. And the first is, what are they prepping? Wary of natural disaster, New York Fed bulks up in Chicago. This via Reuters. The New York branch of the U.S. Federal Reserve, wary that a natural disaster or other eventuality could shut down its market operations as it approaches an interest rate hike, has added staff and bulked up its satellite offices in Chicago. Some market technicians have transferred from New York and others were hired at the office house in the Chicago Fed, according to people familiar with the build-out that began 2 years ago after Hurricane Sandy. The satellite office in the Midwest readies the New York Fed for perhaps the most delicate U.S. interest rate hike ever. With rates having been near zero for more than 6 years and markets flooded with reserves, the Fed will rely on an array of new tools to help it tighten policy likely later this year. So two of those sources, which included market participants and Federal Reserve officials who spoke under condition of anonymity, of course, said the Chicago office was partly protection against a possible cyber attack against the New York Fed. In February, Yellen told a congressional panel the central bank is addressing ever-escalating cyber threats to our operations. But the main reason for the build-out, 700 miles, 1,100 kilometers to the west, appeared to be the need to have staff ready at all times in case of disaster. So, James, my sort of knee-jerk speculation is that basically Obama, a creation of the Chicago machine at the very least, was sort of brought in as the transition man. We forget the seamless transition between Bush and Obama and the 08 bailouts. And now, 8 years later, that the banksters have kind of done their dirty deeds, Barry and the old boys head back to Chi-Town for the post-presidency kind of action. That's just my first bit of speculation. I want your take on the Chicago Fed first, James, and then I have a second what-are-they-prepping story for you.
Well, you're certainly right. Chicago is a mafia town, a mobster town, always has been, probably always will be, and corruption there is beyond endemic. But let's put it this way. If this was just one isolated data point, it would still be fairly strange that they're prepping for a disaster for market operations related to an interest rate spike would be warning in and of itself. But it's at least within the realm of possibility, I suppose. I mean, there is something to the idea of natural disaster creating economic havoc. For example, people might remember during Hurricane Sandy when the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, which handles $1.7 quadrillion in trades every year, they process securities transactions and other trades. They had their vault in New York City was flooded during Hurricane Sandy. 1.3 million stock certificates potentially affected by that, however that transpired. So it is at least possible that that could happen, but I don't think so. Given all of the other data points here, I think there is something much bigger to this story. So what else are they prepping for?
So the other what are they prepping story comes via WTSP in Florida. Customers skeptical about Walmart closings. Not just one, but five Walmarts across America are closing their doors due to plumbing problems. And it's happening all over Texas and Oklahoma and even in Los Angeles. So, James, I think we only briefly mentioned Jade Helm 15 last week, but that's the big old blockbuster terror drill coming up this summer that has a lot of people on all sides of the fence speculating about martial law takeovers and possible rehearsals for war in Ukraine and more. I think what is worth noting here is that places like Walmart are very much a part of any kind of disaster scenario, real world or exercise. They are what's known and what's referred to in Homeland Security speak as critical infrastructure. And they will be the ones kind of helping DHS, Reichland Security, handing out the Soylent Green on Tuesday, James. That's, of course, until the scoops come out. So Walmart's closing and Jade Helm speculation. That's the other what are they prepping question.
And it is speculation at this point. And, I mean, the interesting part about this for me is that they're really, I mean, it really wouldn't surprise me if something huge happened as in relation to all of these stories. It's just, to my mind, there are so many different possibilities, and I don't think there's a good way of really choosing between them right now. That story that we were quoting about the Federal Reserve was talking about natural disaster, which sounds like the cover, and then cyber some sort of cyber event, a hacking or whatever, is potentially what they're really preparing for, which could be. We know they're preparing for an I-9/11, and they have the iPatriot Act ready to go when and if that happens. So that's one possible vector. The Operation Jade Helm, of course, talking about these domestic terrorist insurgents and all of that kind of garbage that they're trying to push. So there's that, always that that angle. And of course, they've just talked about some right-wing extremists leaking some politicians and police officials' names on the internet. So there's that angle, which of course, now we're at the 20th anniversary of OKC, so they can always launch some sort of false flag like that. I mean, there's so many different things here. I don't know what the answer to this is. What are they prepping for? But I, again, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're going to pull something big as a result of all of these stories, and I don't know. I think it's something we have to keep our eye on, and we'll be keeping our eye on it throughout this summer as things continue to heat up.
So we'll move to our second question this week, James. We first asked, what are they prepping? Let's ask, what are they staging? Or more precisely, what are they faking? Hillary staffers chose, drove, and coached Democrat plants for fake Iowa roundtable. This from the tabloidy London Daily Mail, but that's where you get the dirt on the behind-the-scenes fakery of the entertainment and political industrial complex. They write that Hillary Clinton's AstroTurf candidacy is in full swing in Iowa. Her Tuesday morning visit to a coffee shop in LeClaire was staged from beginning to end, according to Austin Byrd, one of the men involved in the roundtable. He told the Daily Mail that campaign staffer Troy Price called and asked him and a couple other people to meet him Tuesday morning at a restaurant in Davenport, a nearby city. He met him at that coffee house, prepped them, vetted them, and then drove them to the place where this staged event would happen. And then everybody had all the breathless news reports that they described it as a round table, the first of many in her brief Iowa campaign swing. Now, James, aside from the more fun esoteric discussions of the powers that shouldn't be and their round tables, let's compare this Hillary fakery with a different event that happened the same day, the Putin-a-thon, known as the Direct Line or Hotline, where the Russian leader fields hundreds of questions for 4 hours. I would love to watch any phony baloney U.S. politician or any other kind of politician hold up under an hour of questions, let alone 4. Now, that's not another, you know, oh, I love Putin kind of declaration, but I think the differences are pretty striking, aren't they, James?
I think so, but I think you're right. The difference there isn't in the politician per se, it's in the public. I mean, the public will always live under the amount of tyranny that they're comfortable with, and I think that speaks to the fact that the Russian public won't take the BS the way that the American public seems to take BS. And the BS levels just keep rising. And unfortunately, sickeningly enough, we're heading into the next selection campaign and we're going to be exposed nonstop to this kind of vomit-inducing propaganda, including this latest one where Hillary has been snapped in a candid photo in the Omaha, Nebraska airport carrying her own luggage because she's a woman of the people, right? Oh my God, it's just going to never end for the next 16 months or so. And this one came out also regarding that Iowa event, where apparently all the Iowans she was coming in contact with had their any cell phone with a camera confiscated before she could meet them, because of course she's a god who cannot be photographed candidly, probably because when she is, it's things like this. Hillary parks in handicapped spot from Weekly Standard, and they show her SUV or whatever parked in a clearly visibly labeled handicap spot as she's going to some campaign event. So anyway, I don't even care. All of this total 100% distraction, garbage, nonsense. I don't want Hillary. I don't want Jeb. I don't want anyone whatsoever to be president of the United States. And that is going to be the topic of my contentious lead editorial for the International Forecaster this weekend, so people can check that out.
James, I was just thinking, as you were kind of talking about these staged events and confiscating cameras and smartphones and things, I work at a rock station as my day job, and there was a band recently, a hot band who has a new record coming out, and they were going to do kind of a showcase for record label people and radio people, but it was a private event because the album isn't out now and it was just a showcase. They confiscated everyone's phones to get into that. So what I'm saying is Hillary is as much a packaged product as a cool new album coming out or some household cleaner. It's a pretty much a staged event, and they've market tested it, and they're going to roll it out to you. So let's put all that aside and move to our third and final question this week and get to, I think, the good stuff. We asked the question, what are they losing? Or what are they missing in some ways? Let's just call it good news next week. Thousands join Spain's hologram protest in Madrid against a new gag law, this via the UK Independent. Late last year, the Spanish government passed a law that set extreme fines for protesters convening outside of government buildings. In response to the controversial citizen safety law, which is going to take effect July 1st, Spanish activists staged what's being called the world's first ever virtual political demonstration. After months of massive flesh and blood protests against the so-called gag law, thousands of holograms marched in front of the Spanish parliament in Madrid, and it's something to see. It was organized by the group Holograms for Freedom, which, again, James lets you know that we are in the future. Ghost-like figures holding placards took aim at the imminent draconian measures, arguing that holographic people are now afforded greater freedoms than their real-life counterparts. More than 2,000 virtual images were sent in and used in the hour-long hologram demonstration. James, I love this story. I'm glad you tweeted this one out. That's where I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extremely creative way of coming at the problem anyway, and at the very least, it will generate a lot of headlines, which I think is what these types of protests should be aiming at anyway. So in that case, I think it will be successful. Whether it will actually do anything to change the law remains to be seen, and remains to be in the hands of the people to actually press this through to its logical conclusion.
And I may actually have gotten this jumbled up. That might not be the one you actually tweeted. I think the good news one you tweeted is farmer cooperatives, not Monsanto, supply El Salvador with seeds. And this is from Truthout. In the face of competition skewed by the rules of so-called free trade, farmers in El Salvador managed to beat Monsanto and DuPont so that they can supply local corn seed to thousands of family farmers, which has proven over millennia to be better and more beneficial. So, James, that was the story you tweeted. So your take on that one?
Well, again, I mean, it's just another sign that the big biotech companies are all propaganda and marketing, and it's just a lot of it's a deck of cards, and all it takes to blow it down is people who are willing to go around and to stop buying the Monsanto genetically modified garbage crap that we know is causing cancer and all the rest. So, you know, again, hats off to people all around the world who are doing this. And more countries are banning GMOs and stopping Monsanto and just simply outgrowing them. And I think that's the real way that we can get around this, is to simply outgrow and grow around these people and to completely stop buying their crap.
So, James, let's then close out with a few other good news next week headlines that I really like. And again, all these are submitted to us via Twitter and other ways from people who really help get us, I think, the important open source news stories that we like to share here on New World Next Week. And you said biotech, and our man Jeffrey Jackson noted decentralized testing for glyphosate spells endgame for biotech. Meanwhile, U.S. government-funded research says cannabis can kill cancer cells. That's from G.J. Salisbury. McDonald's sales plunge again in Japan. That's from our man Brock West. Meanwhile, AFIX.js notes even McDonald's relationship with the franchisees, the people who run the restaurants, are at a new low. There's a cool contraption on Indiegogo that gets honey directly from your beehive as home beekeeping explodes, as we've talked about those sort of urban farm ordinances being passed all around. And meet the Surveillance State Repeal Act, a bipartisan bill to fully repeal the Patriot Act. That one submitted to us by Sam Biohazard. So in closing, all I want to say, James, I put out the call last week for support, and a huge thanks to those that did. You can follow me on Twitter out there, and please submit stories using hashtag New World Next Week, and we would certainly love it if everyone out there would continue to help support truly independent, non-commercial, and open source media. James?
It's an open source investigation, and that means that everyone can and should be participating. So thank you to all those people who do. And in a highly unusual move, let me throw in an extra related story at the very, very end here. People should check into the Richard Engel kidnapping hoax story that just is breaking now, where the NBC News chief foreign correspondent had to alter his story of his kidnapping at the hands of Assad Assad-backed militia group in Syria in December 2012. Now it turns out, oh no, it wasn't Assad, it was the rebels. Oh, sorry, somehow got that confused. So that's an interesting story people should check out. We'll leave it there for this week. James, please bring three more stories again next week. Looking forward to it.
Will do, man. Thank you.